This evening, we're continuing our overview of the Old Testament book titled Joshua. And here in the 8th chapter of this book, we find Joshua. He's leading the children of Israel into another military victory as they moved forward in obedience with the Lord. And here in our text tonight, we find the Lord. He's beginning to restore the land where Abraham once dwelt. He's beginning to restore this land to Abraham's descendants who were now entering the promised land by faith in the promises that God made to Father Abraham. And as we dig into our text tonight, we're also going to consider the way in which the Lord is a God who loves to restore his people who walk by faith with him. And from this, we'll learn about the way in which the Lord likes to take repentant people and restore the years that were destroyed as we walked in our own sinful ways. And so with this as our focus, let's continue to make our way through the book of Joshua. I'd like to begin there at Joshua 8, verse 1. There we learn that the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." Now let's just stop right here and consider how here in these opening verses we're reminded about the military defeat that was recorded in the previous chapter. Remember, it was last week that we learned that the Israelites, they set out to defeat the army of Ai already once before. But rather than securing this victory, they were soundly defeated by their enemies. Now, the reason for this defeat was due to the fact that there was one man there in the camp of Israel, one man named Achan, who rejected God's command when he fought against Jericho. He ended up taking some of Jericho's stuff for himself. As a result, the Lord allowed the Israelites to fight against the people of Ai, but only in the limited power of their own military might. And they weren't strong enough to defeat the army of Ai. Just as we would expect, these Israelites were soundly defeated by the army of Ai. Now, it's interesting to note here that the name Ai, it literally means ruins or heap of rubble. And it's hard for me to imagine here that anyone would set out to name their city heap of rubble. You don't go about building a town and say, you know, this looks like a big heap of rubble. That's what we'll call it, Ai. That didn't make sense to me, and so I decided to drill down into the meaning of this name, and I discovered that the root word of the name Ai is Ava, which speaks of twisted perversions and distorted wickedness. Now, that being the case, I can't help but to wonder if this place might possibly be known as the Sin City of Canaan. And that's saying a lot, because Canaan was a wicked land. These people were wicked. And it would almost seem as if this was the place that's the place you go if you really want to be perverted. This is the place you go if you really want to live your life in ruins. If you really want to explore the twisted nature of your own perversions, go to Ai, because that's where people are really living in sin. I can't help but to wonder if this Canaanite city wasn't much like our Las Vegas, where people just go to explore their twisted perversions. Well, just as this name suggests, the person who embraces their own twisted perversions, the person who entertains their own distorted desires, they only end up causing their life to become a heap of rubble, and their life ends up ruined by their own sinful pursuits. And that's exactly what happened to Achan. Remember Achan, he desired the stuff from Jericho, and he hid it away in his tent. And though Achan's disobedience had caused the Israelites to lose their first battle against Ai, the Lord promised to restore them to a victorious position there in the promised land once Achan was properly punished for his sinful decisions. With the promise of restoration, Joshua then arose and led the people into the victory against Ai. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me beginning there at verse 3, there we read that Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. He commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about, when they come out against us, as at first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them.' Then you shall arise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandments of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you." Now here in these verses we find Joshua, he's dividing the army of Israel up into these two main companies according to the command that the Lord had given to him. The first group was led by Joshua, and this group was going to approach the northern gates of the city just like the smaller military that they sent went before. And just like before, these Israelites, they were going to approach the city walls of Ai and then turn around and flee from this army. Then as the first company drew their enemies out from behind the protective walls of this fortified city, the second company of Israelites who were waiting in ambush just behind the city, they would then invade Sin City and destroy it from the inside out. Now it's interesting to note here that this second group who was sent to hide in the valley between Bethel and Ai, this was an interesting location. You see, this is about the same location where Abraham built an altar to the Lord because the Lord had promised to give all of this land to Abraham's chosen descendants. And it was right there in that area between Bethel and Ai where Abraham called upon the name of the Lord and worshiped the one who promised to bring the promised Savior through the lineage of his innumerable descendants. But now here it is, 400 years later, 400 years after Abraham built that altar to the Lord right there in that valley. And though four centuries had already passed, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he was now finally restoring the land of promise to the descendants of Abraham, just like he said. Now it's important to point out that this restoration, it had a lot to do with the faith-based obedience of these Israelites. Now with this in mind, look with me, beginning there at verse 9, because there we learn that Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai, so he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Now, as we read these verses, I'm really drawn to Joshua here. I can really relate with him. He clearly is not a mayonnaise man. He's a mustard man. Because there in verse 10, it tells us that he mustered the people. Oh, that's horrible, isn't it? You didn't come here for that, did you? But here in these verses, we find the army of Israel carrying out the instructions of the Lord. And while I'm certain that every person had their own opinion about what was the best strategy for winning this battle, Well, they all decided to set aside their opinions. They set their opinions aside, and they trusted that the Lord's plan, which was delivered through Joshua, was the best plan. And that's so important for all the people of God to understand. We can all have an opinion about what we think is right. We can all have an opinion about the way we wish the Lord would do certain things. But when it boils right down to it, what the Lord says is right. And it is the best plan. And we would do well to just consign our opinion to His and say whatever He says is right. And that's what we're going to do. And just as the Lord had promised, the army of Ai here actually did pursue Joshua and his men because they followed His plan. And what ended up happening here is that they left the Canaanite city of Sin completely defenseless and open for Israel's attack. And beginning there at verse 18, we learn that the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered the city and took it, and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on their pursuers. Now here in these verses, we find the Lord, He's continuing to guide Joshua. He tells them when to lift the spear and when to command those who were waiting in ambush to attack. And this is exactly what Joshua did. The Lord continued to guide Joshua into this military victory. And as Joshua responded with obedient faith, the army of Israel was able to accomplish this invasion, thereby destroying the perverted city, which then caused the army of Ai to flee for their lives. With this in mind, look with me there at verse 21, where we read, "Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua." Now here in these verses, we can see how the Lord chooses to bless His chosen people with this military victory because they chose to trust Him enough to follow His directions and His instructions. The Lord laid out a perfect plan. They followed it. The Lord blessed them as a result. And not only were these Israelites able to defeat the army of Ai, but they were also able to capture the king of Ai. Now, I have to remind you here that the word Ai, the root word for the name of this city means twisted perversion and distorted wickedness. And based on this, I'd like to spiritualize this for a second here. I'd like to suggest that those who walk by faith with our Lord and Savior will also be given the power over their own twisted perversions. Those who trust the Lord enough to follow His instructions, which are found in His Word, are also given the power to curb their own distorted desires. With this in mind, it's possible that you've recently been defeated by the sinful desires that you found in Ai. Maybe you took a trip to the city of Ai, so to speak, and you found yourself caught up in those sins that will ruin your life. And if so, if you found yourself backsliding a little bit back to that sinful desire that maybe you've struggled with in the past, I don't want you to beat yourself up about it. It's wrong, it's sin, but don't beat yourself up about it. I'm here to tell you that the Lord just wants to restore you if you'll simply repent. If you just simply repent and turn back to the Lord and confess your sin to Him, He's ready to restore you to a right relationship with Him. The enemy wants to draw you deeper into Ai, but the Lord just wants you to turn your back and turn back to Him. So if you've fallen back into the sinful ruins of Ai, I encourage you, simply repent and return to the Lord by faith so that He can restore you and empower you to walk in the victory that He's already won for you. And while we would all like to enjoy the spiritual victories over sin, we must also understand that these victories, they will at times include some pretty tough decisions. And with this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 24, there we learn that it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. And so Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. Now here in these tragic verses, we find the army of Israel destroying all of the inhabitants of Ai. There's no doubt in my mind that this was an extremely difficult command to obey. And as we consider, well, why would the Lord do such a thing? Why would he command the Israelites to go in and punish these people in this way and destroy them all? Well, we have to remember that the Lord was bringing judgment upon this wicked people. They had rebelled, they had sinned, they had murdered their babies, they had lived in unrepentant wickedness for years and years and years, and the Lord gave them opportunities to repent, but they refused to repent. And so the Lord was raising up the nation of Israel to bring his righteous punishment on these people. But we also have to remember the other side of this story, because these Israelites, they had grown up wandering around in the wilderness. They weren't people of war. They weren't hardened warriors who grew up with a sword in one hand and a shield in the other. No, they grew up in the wilderness. They grew up going to the promised land. And now they find themselves being called upon by the Lord to destroy all these people. How difficult would that be? To take a stand and say, you know what, the Lord is calling me to do this thing and it's going to be difficult. And I don't really fully understand it, but I know that's what he's calling me to do. Without debate, these Israelites were being asked to do something that was extremely difficult for them to do. And as the Lord called them to become his holy instruments of justice, it's in similar fashion that we have to understand that there are times when the Lord calls us to accomplish difficult things. There are times when the Lord is calling us to do things that are tough. And yet, it's what needs to happen if we're going to walk in his victory. For example, there are times when the Lord is telling us to cut ties with an unbeliever who has way too much influence in our lives. I remember that as a new believer, I was surrounded by all my unbelieving friends. I was in a band. I was working in the art world here in Austin. And I was surrounded by people who were encouraging me to continue with my sinful lifestyle. And I knew it was wrong. And I knew it was going to be tough. But the more I stood for Jesus Christ, the more people began to separate themselves from me. And those were tough times. And yet, the Lord gave me the victory because I was willing to take a step of faith and believe that I needed to be okay with separating myself from these unbelievers who wanted me to continue to live a life of sin. Maybe the Lord is calling you to give up an addiction which is keeping you from getting closer to the Lord. I remember as a new believer, I was addicted to many things, and the Lord was helping me to overcome many of those addictions, but one of the last ones that I had to let go of, well, it was tobacco. I loved my cigarettes. And I would feel so bad to read the Bible and have a cigarette at the same time. And so I can't really read the Bible while I'm smoking a cigarette. You know, I mean, that wouldn't be right. But then that didn't stop me from going and having my cigarettes. And the more the Lord just convicted me of that, the more I came to the place where I said, you know what, I'd rather read the Bible than smoke a cigarette. And the Lord blessed me with that victory. And I kid you not, I crushed a pack of cigarettes, a full pack, and threw them away, and I said, no more. And the Lord gave me the victory over that addiction. Maybe the Lord's calling you to put down alcohol or tobacco. Maybe the Lord's calling you to put down pornography or gluttony. Or maybe the Lord's calling you to put down some other addiction. And you're worried that you're going to fail if you try. And rather than failing, you just don't try at all. Well, there's no victory in that. Step out in faith and believe that the Lord might be calling you to do something tough, but he's going to give you the power to do it. Maybe the Lord's calling you to give up some secular activity that maybe isn't bad at all, and yet it's keeping you from actually committing yourself to serving him. Maybe there's some, you know, sport or hobby or whatever it may be, and you invest all your time in that thing, and therefore you have no time to serve the Lord. Maybe the Lord has been calling you, hey, give this up so you can dedicate more time to serving him. Maybe that call has come and gone, and you're thinking, well, I've already missed it. Because I didn't listen, I don't think the Lord wants me anymore to serve him. Not true. The Lord is ready to restore you. The Lord is ready to give you that victory if you just simply take that step of faith and say, I'm going to do this tough thing, and I'm going to give up this hobby, or I'm going to give up this time and give it to the Lord. Without debate, the Lord is going to call every Christian to make tough decisions as we walk by faith with him. And yet we must understand that those who want to walk in the spiritual victories of the Lord, we need to take that step of faith and say, the Lord is calling me to do this. And I believe that as I take this step of faith, he's going to be there to empower me to do it so that I have the victory as I walk. Well, listen, the minute we do, the minute we take that step of faith, we're going to discover that the King of Ai has absolutely no more power over the believer. With this in mind, if you would, look with me beginning there at verse 29. There we learn that the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree. That is speaking of Joshua hanged him. The king of Ai, Joshua, hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Now here in this verse, we learn that the king of Ai ended up being hanged from this tree, and while it's true that this man was a great ruler over this city, he was this ruler who was ruling over this city that was known for its wickedness and perversion, which I'm gathering from the name of the place. But the Lord used the children of Israel to bring an end to this man's wicked rule. The Lord used the children of Israel to bring an end to this king's rule. And while it's true that the people of this city had once spent their lives ruining their lives, pursuing the carnal pleasures of this fallen world, this city of sinful ruin was now lying in ruins. Its day was done. The Lord had finally brought judgment. The Lord had finally brought punishment to these people. And part of the reason why is because the Israelites were deciding to walk by faith in the restorative power of God. Now, as we consider the way that God restored the repentant Israelites, and at the same time, as we consider the way that the Lord destroyed the unrepentant Canaanites, I would suggest that our hearts should be moved to worshipful praise as we realize that the Lord is so gracious. He's the gracious God who is ready, always ready, to restore those who will simply repent. I believe that if the Canaanites would have repented when the Lord called them to repent, that he would have restored them. But in this text, we see that the Israelites repented, and they punished Achan for his sins. And so the Lord restored them and gave them the victory over this wicked nation of the Canaanites. It's for this reason that Joshua, he began to praise the Lord. He began to worship the God who restored them. With this in mind, let's consider Joshua's response to this military victory. And if you would look with me beginning there at verse 30. There we learn that Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of whole stones, over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger, as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front on Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Now, here in the final verses of this chapter, we're reminded here of the command that the Lord gave to Moses concerning the blessings that would be presented to those who were standing on Mount Gerizim and the cursings to those who were standing on Mount Ebal. Now, time would fail us for me to get into all the details surrounding this. And so for homework, you could read Deuteronomy chapter 11, and you could also read Deuteronomy chapter 27, where we find the Lord presenting these instructions that Joshua was here in this text fulfilling. You could also go to the website, calvarysouthaustin.com, and you could go and listen to the overviews that I taught when we covered these chapters. And it's a very interesting study to consider what these two mountains represented and why the Lord was presenting blessings on one mountain and cursings on the other. But for the sake of our time tonight, I just want to conclude our study by simply considering the desire here that Joshua had to walk completely in obedience with the Lord. And we should take a moment here to consider how once Joshua made it past the army of Ai, once the army of Ai was destroyed, he saw that the road to Shechem was now wide open, which provided the people of God with access to these two mountains. You see, Shechem was in a valley between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And so once they made it past Ai, well, it was just a hop, skip, and a jump up to Shechem, where these two mountains were. And at that point in time, Joshua didn't waste any time. He didn't dilly-dally. He went straight to Shechem, and he began to accomplish the command that the Lord had given to Moses. He led the Israelites to this location where the Lord had 400 years earlier made promises to Abraham. You see, it was right there in Shechem where the Lord promised Abraham that this land was going to be given to his descendants. And so there in that very important location, Joshua began to lead the people of Israel into the worship of God. And after worshiping the Lord with offerings, after worshiping the Lord with sacrifices, we're told there at the end of the chapter, verses 34 and 35, that Joshua began to read the Bible. He read the Bible to the people. And there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. The scriptures that were available to Joshua, he read them all to the people of God. And so they worshiped, and they had a Bible study. In other words, Joshua led the people of Israel into their very first church service there in the land of God's promise. And so we see then that the Lord, he not only restored these Israelites with a military victory over Ai, but he also restored them by empowering them to defeat every enemy who tried to keep them from returning to the promised land so that they could worship their God and learn more about his perfect will. And just as God had promised to Abraham 400 years earlier, here we find God making good on those promises. Now, as we consider the ways that the Lord restored these Israelites with these decisive victories over their enemies, I'd like to wrap up our study tonight by considering the victory that we can all have in Jesus. And in order to do so, if you would, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Now, as you turn to 1 John 5, I want to take a moment to remind you that when Jesus died for us upon the cross, he took the punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven for the sins that we've committed. But listen, not only did Jesus take the punishment that we deserve, but he also secured for us the power that we need to overcome the twisted perversions and the distorted wickedness that controls the life of the unbeliever. You see, before we're born again, we're controlled by our own sinful nature. It's as if the king of Ai is living within us, and we desire to pursue the carnal pleasures of our sinful nature. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was securing for us the power that we need to overcome our sinful nature. He was securing for us what we need to overcome not only the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin within our lives. What this means is that those who walk by faith with Jesus Christ, they end up being filled with the Holy Spirit. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, as we walk in that power, well, we no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Christian now has access to the power that we need to overcome the carnal desires that threaten to ruin our lives. All we have to do is walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we get to enjoy the daily victory that Jesus secured for us on the cross. With this in mind, let's consider how the Apostle John put it here in 1 John chapter 5. Look with me beginning there at verse 1. There John writes, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Now here in these verses, John is helping us to understand that those who trust in Jesus have already been given the victory over this world. Our victory is found in Jesus Christ, and when we trust in Jesus Christ, his victory becomes our victory. And I praise the Lord for that. So much like the Israelites who were following Joshua into the promised land, we can enjoy the victory of the Lord when we walk by faith with our victorious Savior. That being the case, I'm here to tell you that the King of Ai can't defeat you anymore if you trust in Jesus Christ. He can't defeat you. But much like those Israelites who entered in while there was sin in the camp, they were defeated. They were defeated because there was someone living in sin. But once they repented and once they got back on track with the Lord, Ai could do nothing to them. And the King of Ai was powerless to stop them. And so I encourage you, don't let the King of Ai defeat you tonight. The King of Ai is ruined for those who trust in Jesus. That being the case, I just simply want to encourage you, commit yourself to walking in obedience with Jesus so that you can enjoy the spiritual power that gives you the victory over your own sinful nature. Walk by faith with the Lord, so that he can empower you to live in the obedience of the faith that saves us. Let's pray.